Christ Church live stream. I'm Pastor Joe Colsantino. It's great to have you. And my guess is we'll be doing others of these, and we're grateful to have you. And we look forward to connecting with you and connecting with God together. You know, we enjoy an unusual amount of affection and warmth and family feel here at Canton Grace. And that's a great thing in every respect except for one, and that is when we're not able to meet, the yearning and the longing to be together only increases. And so we're going to try to mitigate those longings and the yearning that we have to be together by doing a few different things. First of all, of course, we're going to be meeting on Sunday mornings at 11, and we'll certainly be meeting next week as we've already canceled next Sunday's services. So Facebook Live, same time, same place next week. And also we're looking at recording the message so that people who are not part of Facebook can listen to the message on the church website. And so that'll be available about an hour after the service is complete. Furthermore, we're working on some things to connect people in small groups. Women of the Word are working on that, and the youth. We hope to have those up and running this week so that those two groups can meet in a small group setting. And then we'll be working on other small groups later on down the road. We also have some people who are making phone calls to connect via phone. It's the old-fashioned way, but I'm trying to call two people a day, 5 days a week. And there's probably half a dozen other people who are committed to calling at least two people a week to listen, to talk, to pray. The isolation is necessary, but it also creates some difficulties. So we're trying to alleviate people from that. I'm also going to try to put a devotional thought on my weekly update. If you're not part of the weekly update, I encourage you to just call the church, give us your email address, or email me at pastorjoe@cantongbc.org. We'll get you on the weekly update list and send out at least one, if not two, devotional thoughts during the course of the week. So we will continue to meet together as long as possible, as long as we need to. And our mission statement is to connect people to one another, to God, and to the world. And we're certainly going to try to do those two, the first two, connecting to God and to one another through the technological mediums that we have at our disposal. I'd like to begin by reading Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3, and Psalm 46, verses 8 through 11. And then just give a couple of devotional thoughts regarding that text. Again, I'll be reading from the 46th Psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We basically have two thoughts here in Psalm 46. The first is the fact that things happen in life that are dire, that are difficult. We won't fear even though the earth be removed. That is, the earth sometimes can have cataclysmic things that happen so that the earth doesn't even look like the earth anymore. Earthquakes and tidal waves and things of that sort. Mountains will be carried or tossed into the midst of the sea. Can you imagine what a tidal wave, a mountain falling into the sea would create? The waters of the sea are roaring and they're troubled, tossed to and fro. Mountains shake, creating an earthquake effect. These are some of the things that can happen. And the coronavirus that we're experiencing right now is one of those dire circumstances we can't control. It's happening around us. Life changes. That's the first thing that we see in Psalm 46. The second thing that we see is a picture of the unchangeable God. God is unchangeable. He's our refuge, that is, he's our source of protection. He is our strength, that is, he is our source of strength. He is the one who helps us immediately when we are troubled. He's the one who makes wars to cease, whether it's a war against a physical enemy or an invisible enemy such as the virus. He breaks bows. He cuts spears in two. He's the one who enables us to have victory. And our job is to be still, to know that he's God, and allow him to exalt himself among the nations and among his people. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We can enjoy his presence in the midst of the turmoil, and he's the one who's going to get us out of the turmoil. You know, when I think about what we can do in light of those two main points, that is, the world is changeable, and it always doesn't change in ways that we would choose. And God is unchangeable, and he is the one who's going to help us in the midst of changing circumstances. I think the application for us is to make sure that we feed our faith in the unchangeable God more than we feed our fear in that which is changing and distressing around us. In other words, I think it's really helpful for all of us to spend more time with the Lord in his word, in his presence through prayer, listening to Christian music. Spend more time feeding our faith in the unchangeable God than we do feeding our fears listening to the news media. And we do need to listen to the news media, but I think the challenge is to feed our faith in the unchangeable God, because when we do that, we starve our fears. If we spend more time feeding our fears by listening to the news and watching the news, we starve our faith in the unchangeable God. So may God give us the grace, the help, the assistance to feed our faith in the immutable, unchangeable God who is our refuge, who is our strength, who is our Lord, who is our Savior, and to spend less time listening to the news, which causes the distress. I'd like to have a moment of prayer before we spend some time in God's Word. And if you know me, my favorite time is when we get to spend time in God's Word. So let's close our eyes and come before the immutable God. Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence and that we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And Lord, sometimes we are more cognizant, we are more aware of our need for mercy, of our need for grace than at others. In a time like this, we're more aware of our need for your mercy and for your grace. We want to pray, Lord God, that you would be at work in the lives of the president, the vice president, the task force that is serving so capably. We are grateful for them. We thank you for them. We thank you for their vigilance. Give them energy. Give them wisdom. Thank you for our first responders. Thank you for our healthcare workers. Protect them. Use them. Thank you for our law enforcement people. We thank you for people in the church who serve in those capacities. Use them. Guide them. Bless them. Help us to be a shining light, Father. Help us to connect with people who don't know you. May they look at us and say, my goodness, look at the confidence that they have. Look at the calmness that they have. Help us to be a blessing to one another. We ask, Lord God, that you would use this time to strengthen us, that we would come out stronger on the other end. And Lord, we pray most of all that people would just see how wonderful and how great you are in the midst of this difficulty. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, our time in God's Word will be shorter than a sermon, but longer than a devotional. It'll be somewhere in between, so it won't be too long, but hopefully it will be long enough that we get something out of it. In recent months, my dear mother has done some declining. She has declined some physically and declined in other ways as well. And better part of a month ago, not quite a month ago, my wife Melinda spent 3 days with my mom, taking care of her and interacting with her on a social basis. And one of those days, Melinda took mom shopping. And they drove to the Shop and Save, a store that mom is very, very familiar with, doing something that she's very familiar with, going shopping. And she slowly walked towards the inside of the Shop and Save from the parking lot, and Melinda was walking with her. And then mom put her hand, she chose a cart, and as she began to push, Melinda said an amazing transformation began to take place. Suddenly, she was full of energy, and she began to book around the perimeter of the store. And Melinda was walking fast just to keep up with her. Mom was walking faster than she had walked in months, and Melinda said perhaps in even years. And almost on cue, from the sound speaker up above in the store, the music began to play from the theme of Rocky. And mom is zipping around the store, breaking the record perhaps for an octarian as she's picking up items for herself and more importantly for her kids and for her grandkids. And the question is, what in heaven's name happened? That all of a sudden she got this burst of energy and she began to walk with confidence and with a speed that had Melinda quite astounded and had her laughing. Well, simply this. She was motivated, but she was very, very comfortable doing what she was doing. She has been buying groceries for herself and for her family for over 60 years. She knew the layout of the store, and when it came time to go and do what she loves to do and what she's very comfortable with doing, she operated at maximum efficiency. And that's the way it is with us. We operate at maximum efficiency when our insides are comfortable, when our soul is soothed. Not when we're worried, not when we're anxious, not when we're without hope. We do not operate at maximum efficiency. And so the question is, how can we experience comfort in the midst of situations that are uncertain? How can we experience comfort when the future is up in the air and unknown? In Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 1, we see some precious truths about experiencing comfort in the midst of difficulties. Isaiah chapter 40. By the way, Isaiah 40, one of the top five chapters in all the Old Testament. It is a classic passage that tells us about the character of our God. First precious truth regarding comfort. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1. God is the source of comfort for his people. He's always the source of comfort for his people. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Before we look at that very short but meaningful verse, let me give you a little bit of the background. Chapter 39, King Hezekiah is showing his treasures, his gold, his silver, his precious ointment, and he shows it to the Babylonian ambassadors. And I'm sure he was doing it with a proud feeling in his heart. And so God says to Isaiah, and through Isaiah to King Hezekiah, all of your treasures one day will be carried off to Babylon, and your descendants will be carried off to Babylon as well. Judgment is coming, and the Babylonians are the ones who are going to do the judging at my hand. This is devastating news. This is devastating news. Babylon was not down the street from Jerusalem. And so God begins by trying to comfort his people. And he is always the source of comfort. Notice what it says. Comfort, yes, comfort. And it said, is mentioned twice because God wants to make sure that the children of Israel got the message. I'm here to comfort you. My people. Even though chastisement is coming, discipline is coming, you're still my people. And for us, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is through Christ Jesus our Lord. We're always his people, even in the midst of the most dire and difficult circumstances. The idea of the word comfort is to soothe, to experience consolation at the soul level. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. God is always the source of all comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says that, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. All comfort either comes directly from God via his word, via his indwelling Holy Spirit, who's known as the Comforter, or indirectly as he moves in people's hearts to be a source of comfort to us. All comfort ultimately finds its source in God. In Psalm 94, the 94th Psalm, notice what the psalmist writes about the comfort of God. Psalm 94, verse 17. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul soon would have settled in silence. If I say, my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. At a time like this, with the virus and the uncertainty, not just of life, but of livelihood and making a living, there can be a multitude of anxieties, a multitude of worries within us. And what helps us is God's comforts, which delight our soul. In Isaiah chapter 49, Isaiah 49, even heaven gets excited when God comforts his people. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 13. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. That's a wonderful thing when God comforts his people. Not only do his people rejoice, but heaven itself, the angels themselves, rejoice to see the mercy, the compassion of God as he covers his as he comforts his people. You probably have noticed that the government doesn't really comfort us. They inform us. They mandate to us. They give us helpful information. They recommend. They suggest. But my experience has been, if I read too much of what the government says through the media, or I listen too much, comfort is not what I experience. Jesus probably said it best. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good comfort. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. So don't look for comfort from anywhere else but from God and from people who God has moved to console or comfort you. He is always the source of our comfort. Second precious truth regarding comfort. God is the source of comfort for his people. God speaks to the heart of his people when he comforts. He speaks to the heart. Verse 2 of Isaiah 40. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. Literally in the Hebrew, speak words to Jerusalem's heart. Speak words to Jerusalem's heart. When God comforts people, he aims at the heart. When we are successful in comforting other people, we do more than just aim at their reason and their intellect. We also aim for their heart, because it's the heart that's broken. It's the heart that's wounded. It's the heart that's worrying. It's the heart that's losing hope. We not only aim at the intellect, and we do aim at the intellect so that people can reason. Let us reason together, says the Lord, Isaiah 1:15 says. But we also try to aim at the heart, at the seat of emotions, if we are going to be effective in comforting people. And God knows that. He's the one that creates us, and he aims at our heart. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. Well, how does God try to comfort the people of Jerusalem? Let's look at the text. That her warfare is ended. At a certain point, your physical enemy, the Babylonians, the war is going to end. It's not going to go on forever. The battle with the invisible enemy in our situation, it's going to end. This is not going to go on for a century. It's going to end. That her iniquity is pardoned. Iniquity, sin that shows the twistedness of sin. It's pardoned. It's forgiven. You're going to get to a point, Jerusalem, people of Israel, where your sins will be pardoned. Your sins will be forgiven. No guilt, no shame. For she, that is Jerusalem, has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. Yeah, you're going to really pay. You're really going to be judged. You're really going to be chastised. But you're going to eventually learn the lessons of this chastisement. And the chastisement will end as well. The war will end. Your iniquity will be pardoned or forgiven. And the chastisement from my hand will end as well. Whenever God aims at the heart of people, to comfort his people, because that's what needs to be comforted. The seat of our emotions is the heart. Whenever he does that, he always does it with a message of grace. He always does it with a message that he's going to give us which we don't earn and we could never deserve. It's a message of grace that always comforts the heart. For instance, in Romans chapter 5, verse 20 of Romans 5. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. God's grace is always way greater than we need. In fact, it is infinite. In Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul's giving a little autobiographical sketch of himself. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me. He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And he did that although I formerly was a blasphemer. He blasphemed the Lord Jesus Christ's name over and over again. I was a persecutor of God's people, the people that God died for. I was an insolent man, an outrageous man in my behavior. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I didn't know what I was doing. Now, verse 14. And the grace of our Lord Jesus was, the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. God's grace, as bad as I was exceedingly abundant, greater than my sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 tells us that my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. His grace is not only sufficient, it's more than sufficient. It's exceedingly abundantly sufficient. I think of the old hymn, Wonderful Grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? When God speaks to our heart, when God wants to comfort us, he speaks to our heart. And when he speaks to our heart, it's a message of grace. That melts our heart. That brings us consolation. So we want to go to the Lord and allow the Lord to be the one who soothes and who consoles us in the midst of such difficulties. Final truth regarding comfort. God's a source of comfort, directly or indirectly. He speaks to the heart of his people. It's a message of grace. That's what we need, and he knows that. Number three, God smooths the way for his people so that we can experience his comfort. He smooths the way. Verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. New Testament tells us that the person being referred to here is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist prepared the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knocked over obstacles so that when Jesus had his ministry, he was able to get to people's hearts more quickly because of the ministry of John the Baptist. He prepared the way for Jesus. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. When you go to a desert, I've never been into a desert. I know some of you have who've been in the military and so forth. But when I think of a desert, I don't think of a place that you can travel very quickly. There aren't many highways running through the desert. John the Baptist, in essence, set up a highway in the desert. And this is metaphorically speaking. What he did is he eased the way for Jesus to be able to get into people's hearts. People's hearts are hard and sandy like a desert. And John the Baptist made a way so that Jesus could more quickly get to people's hearts. He made a highway in the desert. Every valley shall be exalted. A valley is a dip in the terrain, right? John the Baptist made it so that there was no longer a valley, but the terrain was nice and level. You can travel more quickly and more easily with level terrain than in a deep valley. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The same idea. A mountain goes up, and it's hard to go fast in the mountain. If you got a four-cylinder car, it doesn't go fast at all. John the Baptist leveled the mountain, so you had a nice, even, level, easy-to-travel terrain for Jesus. Crooked places shall be made straight. It's really hard to travel fast in roads that are bendy. John the Baptist got these bendy roads, and he made it a nice, straight path for Jesus, so that Jesus could more easily access people's hearts. The rough places shall be made smooth. Same idea. Why? Oh, so that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Ultimately, the reason why John the Baptist did this for Jesus, made the path to people's hearts easier, is so that Jesus, God the Son, and God the Father could receive glory. That's why he did what he did. Now, God uses prophets and preachers and teachers to get to people's hearts, to soften hearts, to get the obstacles out of the way, to humble the proud, to get us to get our eyes off ourselves. God uses messengers. But just as often, if not more often, sometimes I think, God uses difficult circumstances. How many people have come to Christ because of a personal difficulty, and God levels the playing field? He gets the obstacles out of their heart, and then he brings the message in, and people come to Christ. God is, I believe, he's going to smooth the path using the coronavirus for people to come to Christ. An example of this would be Acts chapter 9. We're familiar with it. We'll just read a couple of verses. Saul's getting ready to breathe threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. And he's heading towards Damascus. Acts chapter 9, verse 4. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." And you remember the consequence of that was Saul was blinded. Couldn't see. And God used that blindness to soften his heart. And Saul became Paul, and he submitted to the lordship of Jesus in his life, and he was wonderfully saved. God uses difficult circumstances to smooth the path, to get the obstacles out of the way for unbelievers to come to Jesus. And I believe he's going to do the same thing here. He's going to maximize his glory through the coronavirus. It's ultimately not about us. It's ultimately always about him and his glory. And this isn't any different. Luke 22. God also uses it in the lives of believers. He uses dire circumstances in the lives of believers. You remember the story of Luke 22. Our Lord warns Peter, all of you are going to deny me. And Peter says, not me. I'll go to prison. I'm willing to die. Our Lord says, the cock's going to crow three times. And right after that, you're going to deny me, Peter. And Peter says, not going to happen. Well, let's pick it up in Luke chapter 22, verse 56. A certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, he looked intently at him and he said, this man was also with him. But Peter denied him, saying, woman, I do not know you. I've never seen you before in my life. And after a while, another saw him and said, you're also of them. But Peter said, man, I'm not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you're saying. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and he looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Can you imagine the look on our, I can't really imagine the look on the Lord's face, but I'm sure as his eyes met Peter's eyes, Peter's heart sank and it melted and he felt awful. The next time that we really zoom in on Peter and get a real close look at him after the resurrection is John 21. And he wants to go fishing and he's bringing some of his buddies with him to go fishing. Jesus says, you're not going to catch anything, sorry. Then cast out your line at my word. 153 fish come. And Jesus has a confrontation, a gentle confrontation, but a confrontation nonetheless. Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, feed my lambs. And from that moment, we don't read anything about Peter's devotion swerving. He's loyal. He's devoted. He's committed. God used the terrible denial and the look in Jesus' eyes to melt Peter's heart. And then the gentle rebuke and admonition. And he used that to do some business, some work in Peter, who was a believer, obviously, at that time. And God, I'm sure, is going to do the same thing in some of our lives, if not all of our lives, in different ways. There's some things at the heart level that aren't all that they could be. And God will use the dire circumstances, the anxiety, the unknown future, to do business in our hearts as believers. He will use it to smooth the way for the Lord to do what he wants to do, to get us to love the way he wants us to love, to get us to serve the way he wants us to serve, to get us to be all that he wants us to be. God's going to maximize his glory in the lives of unbelievers and the unbelievers, believers and unbelievers alike. He's going to smooth the path to work in people's hearts. So may God do that very thing in your life and in mine. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that even as our minds and our eyes are focused on ourselves, that, Lord, you're focusing on us, but ultimately you're focusing on your glory and maximizing your use in people's lives. We thank you that you are the God of all comfort and consolation. Help us, Lord, to spend more time feeding our faith in you than we do our fears in the news. Oh yes, help us to keep up to date with what's going on, but not to the point, Lord God, where our faith is being starved by our fears. And oh yes, Lord, speak to our hearts. You're the only one who can soothe and console us from the inside out. Use people. Use us in other people's lives that we can be a source of comfort as you move in us to encourage. But most of all, use your Holy Spirit and your word, the helpful one, the comforting one. And oh yes, Father, work in people's lives. Work in people that we know who don't know you personally. Give them a Pauline experience. And Father, for us, do business in our lives too. You want to make us different, and we pray that you would use the challenges that we are experiencing. And we'll give you all the praise and glory and honor through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Next week, I plan and I hope to visit you, same time, same place, same venue, 11 o'clock, Sunday morning. And until then, stay close to Jesus, and God bless you.